Well, I am really excited about Pastor Joe's message on authenticity. And when I was sitting here last week listening, I was really pricked in my heart by the scripture that he shared, and a part of it said to know God and to be known by God. And so I really thought all week about that. And so it's so funny that I'm standing up here and just felt like that word that God had gave to me that really left an impression in my heart is the one that I am going to bring before you this morning. And so we're going to be looking at knowing God. And what I found that has been so exciting as I've opened up the scriptures and learned more of the word is that the more of the word that I know, the more I know God. I can see him when he shows up. And so that is something that has really been exciting for me. Now, when we look at Pastor Joe's message on authenticity, I wanted to just bring to our attention a question that I really pondered. How can we truly be authentic Christians if we don't know God? And what I want to bring out to you today, Children, you are dismissed. Thank you, Pastor Taylor. I saw him stand up and just wait. Oh, sorry about that. My little ones are at home. None of us have any symptoms, but I did make the decision that it probably is best. They were at the office with me a couple of days last week to just keep them home and quarantine them. So totally forgot about dismissing our kiddos. But when we look at can we truly be authentic Christians if we don't know God, I can't say that we can answer that with a yes. Because in order to be a true authentic Christian, to look like Christ, you got to know the Word of God, because the Word of God lets us in to what it is that God has planned for us, what Christians should look like in the way that they move about in the world, especially among each other. And so when you look at this word authenticity, I found some things that I thought was pretty key just about the word itself. It means a genuineness, a rightfulness, a dependability, a trustworthiness, a faithfulness, a fidelity. I love that word when we're thinking authenticity. Are we really faithful in the fidelity of being Christians in the way we show up in the world? And so that is what I hope we get to ponder and learn here today. One of the things that I think is so important when we are looking at how to be true, authentic Christians is, as I said, you have to really know God in order to live that out. And so the phrase to know really speaks to a level of intimacy that goes well beyond just knowing of someone. It means to have, you have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. You are familiar or friendly with them, and you are aware. You can perceive, you can recognize through observation, through inquiry, questions, or through information. And that's exactly what we get when we see the Word of God. So to know God is to know His Word, His will, and His ways. We're going to get to a scripture in a minute. I know Pastor Joe usually has a scripture that he starts off with. We'll get there. All right. So when we look at knowing God through His Word, I want to take a look at the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16. And there's a lot of scriptures today. You may stand for the reading of the word, for those of you that can, but we have quite a few scriptures we're going to go through. And so I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 3:16. If I had my Bible, it would have been marked. And so I would have easily been able to flip through. So just work with me here. I got to tell you, in all the years that before coming into the pastorate, I would consider myself a word girl. I love the word of God. I mean, you know, when the Bible says you hunger and thirst, I truly hunger and thirst. And I hope for those of us that truly want to authentically represent Christ and walk as Christians, that we would also have a love for the word of God. But 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And I love verse 17 because it says, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so our knowledge of the word of God has a purpose. When we learn of the word of God, it brings us to a place. You guys can have a seat. It brings us to a place where we truly know God. And we can be corrected if correction is needed. And we can learn of the scriptures so that we can be trained in righteousness. That's what God desires for us, right? When we come into the world, the Bible says we're born into sin and shaped in iniquity. So we have to be trained in righteousness. And that's what the word of God allows us to do. We can look in the Old Testament and the New Testament at what was written and learn about God. And it allows us to know how to labor with him in reconciling others back unto him. That's the part about being a workman that is fit and equipped for every good work. All right, so when we look at the scripture in 2 Timothy 3:16, as I said, it is profitable for doctrine, and that's just a set of beliefs or your thoughts about the scriptures or your thoughts about a particular subject in the scriptures. And I love the definition of Merriam-Webster. It simply says it is a set of beliefs that are held and taught by the church. And so if we are not in the word of God, we don't know the doctrine that we're supposed to live by and that we're supposed to follow. And so knowing the word of God is more than just picking up the Bible and reading a scripture. It's where you really dig in and you're studying it. We must always find value in knowing God through studying. 2 Timothy 2:15, and I'm going to read that one for you. It says, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And so here, the scripture is saying that it allows us to know the word so that we can rightly handle the word. So that when we're sharing it with others, when I'm standing before you or, you know, any of the other pastors, that we're rightly dividing the word so that we get exactly what it is God desires for us to get. And this is how we know him. So we are to study the word so that we can be that workman who goes out and do what it is God has called us to do. When we look at the word of God in how it moves throughout our lives when we're studying it, whether it's through a service, or through Sunday school, or through your small groups, or through individual discipleship relationships with others. One of the things that we should really be concerned about is what we take in should be what we're putting out. And so when we read the scriptures, what we're learning is what the will of God is for our life. And I can tell you, not growing up in a Christian home, seeing everything, if I could, you know, my parents did the best they could, but if I could say this, seeing every ungodly thing there would possibly be in the world happening right in my home, when I began my journey, my walk with God, I knew I needed to get in the Word so that I could live different than what I saw, so that I could do different. And I think that's why I have such a hunger for the Word of God. Because I know what my life was like before God, and why would I accept him as my Lord and Savior, and then nothing changes when I'm walking with him. So I knew something had to change, because why go through the process and not complete it. And that's what God is wanting to do with all of us. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to stand before you and minister the word, because it also is allowing me to hear and take in. And so knowing the word of God brings us front and center to his will. And can I say this? I think sometimes many people don't get in the word because they don't want to know the will of God. They're still okay with doing it their way. But if we're going to truly live as authentic Christians, we have to decide that in order for me to look like Christ, I got to know him. And we do that through knowing his word. That brings us front and center to what is the will of God for our life. So that's what we're going to look at right now. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And it is Romans 12, 1 and 2. I told y'all there's a lot of scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove that God's will is his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here we learn that the will of God is found in his sovereignty. And when we look at this scripture, what it's saying is that in view of God's mercy, you present your body as a living sacrifice. And when I read that, I always think about when God had Abraham to take Isaac up on the mountain to present him as a sacrifice. Now, when you think of the will of God, it's like, why, God, do we need to go that far? But God was not wanting him to kill his son. God was testing his heart. And so whenever we find ourselves in tough situations, that's exactly what God is doing. He's testing our heart, because it is the will of God that he is wanting us to live out. And so we're going to find ourselves in some of those places. When we know the word of God, we come to the knowledge of the will of God. And in many places in scripture, we learn that the will of God, what the will of God is. But let's take a look at one that touches on two very key aspects of the will of God. And so reading Romans 12, 1 through 2 allows us to see the sovereignty of God and how he wants things to be done. He wants us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. So as an authentic Christian, I don't get to do what I want to do. God has already said I have to present myself as a living sacrifice. What does that look like naturally? You know, when we get up in the morning and we're doing life, right? As a mom, as a dad, you know, as an employee, what does it look like to be a living sacrifice? It just means in some of those moments when your desires rise up, you submit them to the plan of God. And it may be coming into a situation where you are, I'm going to tell this example because I think it's so fitting. It just happened. I had one of my disciples call me, and they were in traffic, and they were upset. I've been here sitting for 45 minutes, and I can't believe I'm going to miss my next appointment. They were on their way to a job site. And so I'm just listening, and everything is a complaint, you know, and I'm just letting them talk and getting it out, because sometimes that's good. Sometimes we need to talk it out, right, instead of holding it in and you know, getting all worked up. And so when they finished talking, I just simply said, have you taken this as an opportunity to pray? We don't know what's up ahead, but have you stopped in this moment? Instead of being concerned about you, have you taken the opportunity to pray? And they said no. And I said, okay. So later on that day, I got a text. There was a really bad car accident, and I'm not sure if you guys have heard about it. but a car had ran into an 18-wheeler and hit the 18-wheeler, caused them to go into another lane, and they were hit by two more, I think, 18-wheelers. It looked bad. When I read the article, the car was completely mangled. And I thought in that moment, as I'm reading, because I finished looking at the text, and they just said, I bet I was the only one praying. You may not have been, but there were some things that God was working out in them, in knowing that every moment is not about you. There are sometimes the will of God slows us down enough to see what it is we need to do in being Christians in the life of others. And so it may be you got to pause and stop for a little bit to consider what is beneficial to someone else. And then you have to take a back seat. Is that the will of God? Yes, it is. That's exactly what Jesus did for us when he died on the cross. He was in the garden. The weight of the world was on his shoulders. And he said, Father, let this cup pass from me. And he quickly said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And we have those moments in life where we're going to have to be a living sacrifice for the benefit of someone else. Christ demonstrated that for us, and God expects for us to demonstrate that for others. It may not be at that level, but aren't we grateful for those who present themselves as a living sacrifice in the will of God? And so the thing here that I really want to get us to see is that the end of the scripture says that this is when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, and this is the way we know God more, is that it's his good, pleasing, and perfect will. He is a good, good father, and no matter how tough those living sacrifices, sacrificing moments must be, he is the one that is going to make sure that it is according to his perfect will. He just needs us to submit to that. And the sovereignty of God, I want to look at two scriptures. And this one, the first one, comes from Ephesians. And this is important for us to walk through these scriptures because, as I said, how can you truly live a life of an authentic Christian without really knowing the word? And so I hope that going through the scriptures gives you an idea of what that looks like, because we really need to know the word. And once we know the word, we can know his will. Ephesians 1:1-11. Now, this is a pretty lengthy scripture, but I want to read it and get to a point. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus, in accordance with his pleasure and his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made us known to the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even in Christ. In him, we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we might be who we were. I'm sorry, I went too far. So what I want to point out here is when you see that from the beginning, God already had a purpose and a plan. That is his will. He predestined these moments that we're living in. These things are not just happening. The sovereignty of God allows us to see that God's ultimate control of how he desires to govern the affairs of heaven and earth are happening every day through our life. And so we have to be okay with knowing that he is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, we get to know that this is the will of God. We have to see that. That God is ultimately in control of what is happening. And that's why we must know his will, so that we, when we are encountering those challenging moments, don't find ourselves in a place where we're questioning God as if he's not there. It's okay to question him to get understanding, but not questioning him that he's not there, because he's always there. Isaiah 55 and 11 will also allow us to see a little bit more into the will of God. I'm so used to my Bible, so when I get a different one, it doesn't flip the way I normally see it, and then the little highlighting and the words that I've written in there. But I'll get there. It's Isaiah 55 and 11. So is my word that go out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So when we look at the sovereignty of God, here we can see that God has purposed certain things to happen. That's part of his will. And he is saying here in this scripture that his word, when it goes forth, that it will not return to him empty. That means if he sends out his word and says, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, when we stand in faith and believe that, it won't come back to him empty. We will see a manifestation of his healing. And so that is what I'm praying for our pastor and his family and all of the others that have really had a challenge. I myself was really challenged when I got the cancer diagnosis. I said I could accept the report of the doctors or I could accept the report of the Lord. And I know that it is not the will of God for me to suffer through sickness and disease. And I just held on to his word. And I searched the scriptures. What does God say about healing? What does he promise me and others? And that's where my faith rests and it settles. And so when we see this word in here, that God says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. This is so comforting, especially in the days and times that we live in, that God knows exactly where we are. Because in his sovereignty, he placed us in this dispensation of time. He knew we would be in 2020. With COVID and everything else going on. And he says, it didn't catch me off guard. If you trust me, I'm going to walk you through these times of difficulty. And so that's why we need to know his will and his word, because we can count on it, we can trust it, and we can have faith to believe when everything around us doesn't look like it should. And that's so comforting. And I want to take a look at how the commandments of God shows us his will. And we don't really need to go through and read these scriptures, but I do want to highlight them. Exodus 20, 1 through 17 brings us to the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. And then Matthew 22, 36 through 39. This one I do want to read. And what we see in the Old Testament of the commandments is actually reflected in the New Testament when Jesus begins to speak, when he's asked a question. And that's Matthew 22, 36 through 39. It says, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love your Lord, your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. When we look at the commandments of God and how it reflects and shows us the will of God, I love this statement, and this is something I came up with. But the commandments of God are not suggestions. They are commandments that we are to hold on to because it's a reflection of his will. And if we're going to authentically live as Christians, we will have to submit and surrender to the plan of God. And we often see that in his commands. If you do a word study of the word commandment and you look at all the commands, and even if it doesn't say a commandment, but it says, love your enemy as yourself, that's not a suggestion. That's a commandment. And for us that are living authentically as Christians, we are supposed to see the will of God in the commandments that he's left for us in his scripture. And so we get to know God through his word, and we get to know God by his will. If you're not studying the word, how are you going to know his will? So I'm going to bring us back to, we have to be those who sit down and study the scriptures. We find a place where we truly have a love for God in the way that we search the scriptures and then live out his will. And then the last thing that I want to share with you today is we can know God by the ways in which he shows up in our life or in the life of others. The scripture paints a picture that allows us to see that there is an aspect of God that is a mystery to us. There are some things we just don't know. But God tells us that there are times when he will reveal those mysteries to those who truly are desiring him. And so Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 says about the ways of God, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know, when I think about how we sometimes look at God and what he should do or what we want him to do, and we get frustrated and angry at God, sometimes we miss that he has said, "My ways are higher than your ways." When my mother took sick and she had MS and she was paralyzed from the waist down, I didn't understand what was going on. And I won't say that I was angry with God, but I was questioning him. Why? And I was my mother's caregiver, and it was difficult to see her in those moments. And it was really difficult when she said, "I don't know if I believe in God anymore," because of what she was going through. And I know that many find themselves in the same place. They question God. Why? When someone is hurting, or when we lose someone, because we don't understand his ways. We don't understand his will. And I don't have all the answers. But I've had to just settle in my heart, just like he said at the end of Jeremiah 29 and 11, that he has good things planned for us, plans that are good, that brings us to a place of hope. And I'm going to keep my hope in God. And his ways are not going to always make sense to us. But I think we can get to a place where we say, "God, you're a good, good father. You have only good things planned for us. And though we don't understand in your sovereignty why certain things are allowed, we're going to trust you and keep our hope in you." We must know God to really reflect his ways as we live authentically as Christians. It's important for us to be able to see God. And I think what this does for us is it helps to encourage us along the way when it gets difficult. So, two ways that we can see how God shows up: by his example and by our own personal experiences. When we look at Moses, we can see that God showed up in the life of Moses and the children of Israel as a deliverer. He delivered them out of a very tough, difficult season where they were in bondage, in slavery to Pharaoh. And we can see that God delivered and restored to Job things that he lost in his time of suffering. And we can see in the life of Jesus that he requires us to be a living sacrifice. And so these examples are here to encourage us, to bring us to a place where we can see God in the way that he has showed up in the life of others. In the Old Testament, we have many stories that allows us to see, or events, I think, as Pastor Joe says. Don't call them stories. These examples we need. And I tell you, when I was going through a very difficult time, I flipped the pages of the scripture because I wanted to see how God showed up in the life of those that I can read about so that I can identify him in the way that he was showing up in my life or when I have to pray for others and encourage others in their experiences. And one of the things that we can definitely see with God is that in the way he shows up, a lot of times is a miracle. And I laugh at myself because I said, obviously, God is performing miracle after miracle after miracle for me. Because as a single mom with four kids, I don't know how I do it. Don't know how I do it. And so I said, that's just the miracle working power of God, the grace. You know, all of those good things that I can look back and say he's there and not get upset and then walk away, not get frustrated and then walk away. Or we can see him in answered prayer. That is one of the experiences that we get to have with God that shows us that he's there, that we're actually experiencing him. When the doctor did the surgery, and they gave me the biopsy report at the end of that week. And they said it was not cancer. It was simply a fatty tumor. I said, God, thank you for answering my prayers. Because it may have been. And I remember Sue Tellman, she went with me to the first appointment and the second appointment, I believe. And they said, this is cancer. And I couldn't accept that because they didn't do a biopsy before. And I said, while it may look like that to you and you have your experiences with this before, because I don't have a concrete answer, I'm going to trust God's report that I'm healed. And so Sue called me and she was like, after we got the praise report, and she said, but he said it was cancer. He knew. And I said, he did say that. But God answered my prayer, that he would bring me to a place where I was healed and made whole by the stripes of Jesus. So I thank God that I got to experience him that way. And then we experience God and know him when he speaks. And he is still speaking today. And he speaks in a way that you have to begin to learn to know his voice. It's going to sound different for you than it sounds for me and it sounds for you. But when you know God's voice, you can follow him. You can find comfort in times when it's difficult. You can also get to a place where you just rest. And I think we all need that after the year that we've had, after the things that keep coming up. We can rest. To know God is to study his word so that we learn to obey what he has written in the scriptures. To learn the will of God is important because it allows us to submit and surrender our plan and purpose to his life, or to allow us to submit and surrender to his plan and purpose for our life. And then to recognize him when he shows up in our life or in the life of others as he answers prayer, or when he shows up by divine intervention. That's a miracle. When he manifests himself in those tangible ways in our life. God is only mysterious to those who don't know him. by His word, His will, and His ways. So I want to just encourage you today and just pray as we leave out. Father, I thank you that in our journey as believers, as authentic Christians, we will know you by your word, studying your word, learning of your word, by your will that we see revealed as we read and learn of you, and then by your ways and how you show up in our lives. Father, we need you to show up today. For those of us who are weary, for those of us who our hearts are broken, and for those of us who are burdened with the cares of this world. And we also need you to show up, Father, for the rest of this week, for the rest of this year, and for the remainder of our lives. Because we know, Father God, that we need to know you in order to live our life out authentically as Christians. So begin to show yourself to us, Father, in ways that we can recognize. I thank you, Father God, for those who have come here today to hear a word from you. And I pray that as they leave out these doors, Father God, they never leave your presence. I pray that they will have traveling grace in the directions in which they go. And Father, until we come here again to the house of prayer, to meet with you and to fellowship with others. May your peace and your grace meet us in those days until we return. In Jesus' name I pray, amen, amen. Well, thank you guys for coming this morning, and I just bless you in the name of the Lord and pray that your week will be one that you see the Lord show up in ways that you haven't seen. Continue to lift Pastor Joe and the girls and Ashley up in your prayer and others that we ministered to. Thank you.
My eyes are fixed on you. Know what I face. Know why we stand before me. I know you'll lead me through the desert.